Federal courts hardly ever overturn agency rules, but the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has found that the EPA illegally approved an insecticide linked to declining numbers of honeybees. The court found the EPA had failed to get enough evidence from the maker, Dow AgroSciences, to approve the safety of sulfoxaflor. Sulfoxaflor is a neonicotinoid, a systemic insecticide that becomes part of all of a plant's tissues and is poisonous for insects. Commercial beekeepers and the environmental group Earth Justice sued the EPA about the approval of sulfoxaflor. Greg Laurie is the staff attorney with Earth Justice who argued the case.
In the case of sulfoxaflor, what the court found is that EPA approved sulfoxaflor without any reliable information about the risk that it would present to honeybee colonies. And that, of course, is a huge shortcoming when we're in the midst of this crisis where we're losing over one-third of our honeybee colonies every year, and science is pointing to these sorts of insecticides as a primary cause.
Now, it's practically unheard of for a court to overturn an Environmental Protection Agency chemical registration. What happened in this case?
Well, the case began shortly after EPA approved sulfoxaflor in the summer of 2013. Earth Justice was approached by America's commercial beekeeping industry, the biggest trade groups in America, including the American Honey Producers Association, American Beekeepers Federation, and others. And, you know, these folks are really at their wits' end. They are at the point where beekeepers are going out of business. So they approached Earth Justice and said, is there anything we can do about this latest neonicotinoid coming onto the market? And we took a look at the registration and found that indeed EPA had not met its own guidelines, didn't have the information that it was supposed to have in hand. And so we filed suit. Under the law, the case bypasses the lower courts, goes straight to the Court of Appeals, and the case was heard last April. And then finally we get the decision concluding that indeed EPA had broken federal law when it approved sulfoxaflor. And it is quite unusual for courts to overturn pesticide registrations, and partly that's because the law gives EPA a great deal of authority, and courts give EPA a great deal of deference because it's a matter that does involve a fair amount of scientific expertise. It's very technical, and the courts don't feel like they're in a position to second-guess that sort of science. But in the case of sulfoxaflor, the science was so lacking, and it was so clear that EPA just didn't have this fundamental information that the court found that the registration had to be overturned unless and until that information is brought to bear.
What conditions does a chemical, this insecticide, have to meet in order to be approved by the EPA, and how is that determined?
Under federal law, EPA's job is to ensure that use of a pesticide will not cause an unreasonable environmental or human risk. They take in a great deal of information from the company that is marketing the pesticide, and they try to determine whether it's going to present a risk to the environment, and if so, how do we mitigate that risk, for instance, by putting restrictions on the label, time that you can spray it, amount that you can spray, that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, it's something of an imprecise process, and it also, of course, relies on the quality of the information that's coming in.
Describe for me what EPA did or didn't do in connection with approving this chemical sulfoxaflor.
Sure. To determine the impact that an insecticide will have on what they call non-target insects, like honeybees, traditionally EPA has studied what it calls the acute toxicity of a pesticide. And essentially what that means is they take a honeybee into the laboratory, they expose that individual adult honeybee to the pesticide, and they figure out how much of the pesticide does it take to kill that adult honeybee. And they figure that, well, if bees will be exposed to less than that lethal dose, then the pesticide won't cause any problems. Now, this whole process really falls to pieces when you have the systemic insecticide overlay. They may not kill on contact. The adult bee might go out into the field, collect pollen that has the sulfoxaflor in it or the systemic insecticide in it. And so the adult bee brings the pollen back into the hive, feeds it to the developing brood. And over time, that buildup within the hive causes the whole colony to sicken, weaken, and ultimately collapse. So what the law says is EPA needs to consider this possibility. EPA needs to do not only those laboratory studies, But also EPA has to consider what happens when we put a hive out in the real world and put it in a situation where it is feeding on crops that have been sprayed with the systemic insecticide. And that's the information that EPA so desperately needs, and the information that it certainly lacked in the case of sulfoxaflor.
Now, typically, when it comes to registering a chemical with the EPA, the manufacturer of the chemical does all that research. In this case, why do you think Dow didn't conduct this research before they submitted their paperwork to the EPA?
You're absolutely right. The way the law is set up, the studies are all conducted by the corporation that is seeking registration. And then EPA's role is simply to review that information. Dow did submit 6 studies. What EPA found, however, is that all 6 of the studies had numerous scientific flaws and were inherently unreliable. So, for instance, most of them studied an exposure to sulfoxaflor that was well below what would actually be happening in the field. Several of them lacked control groups of any kind. And yet, at the end of the day, EPA decision makers decided to register sulfoxaflor, notwithstanding the flaws inherent in the studies.
So what happens next for sulfoxaflor?
Well, the court set aside EPA's decision to register sulfoxaflor. So the effect of the court's ruling is that sulfoxaflor goes off the market unless and until Dow submits to EPA this information, and EPA goes through this process again and follow the law this time around. So our hope is that this decision catalyzes EPA to really move much more quickly to protect what ultimately are not just honeybees and not just commercial beekeepers, but all of us and the nutritional diet that we require.
Greg Laurie is a staff attorney with Earth Justice. Thank you so much for taking the time today, Greg.
Thank you.
We asked both Dow AgroSciences and the EPA for comment. The EPA said in part, "We are reviewing the opinion in consultation with the Department of Justice to determine our next steps." Dow AgroSciences respectfully disagrees with the Ninth Circuit's conclusion. Their responses are posted in full at our website, loe.org.